This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said and these were the first words that he mentioned upon arriving in Medina, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ بِسَلَامِ O people, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ Spread the salams. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ And feed the poor and give in food. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ And enjoin relations. And pray at night time. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ بِسَلَامِ So Islam is the religion of peace. And it starts with peace. And that is why the first thing that the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to do upon arriving in Medina, he ordered the companions and advised them to give the salams. Giving the salams started coming together amongst the signs of the Day of Judgment. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, أَيَكُونَ السَّلَامُ لِلْمَعْرِفَةِ That the salams will be only to those whom you know. Or the salams will only be when you need something. When you need to know something. For example, you ask a person and you say, Assalamu alaikum, brother. Where is the closest restaurant when you're hungry? You would not have given salams to him if you did not know, if you did not need to know where the closest restaurant was. And so, when it's near the Day of Judgment, this is what will happen. That it will not be for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not be a form of ibadah. And it will be lost. And people will only give salams when they need something. And that's why when you walk by somebody, and you say, Assalamu alaikum, He turns to you, Wa alaikum salam, yes brother, what do you want? He asks you right away, what do you want? Why? Because people do not give salams unless they need something. And then, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wa at'imu at-ta'am, and provide food for people. I mean, give to others. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إِذَا تَبَخْتُمْ مَرَقَةً فَأَكْثِرُوا مَاءَهَا." When you make soup with broth or any food that has plenty of broth, then increase the broth, increase the water, and then give some to your neighbors when you make it. And this is something that will build love, because when we give each other, when we help each other. And we give gifts to each other, this increases love amongst each other. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Tahaddu tahabbu. Exchange gifts and you love each other. So you don't give gifts only on Hari Raya. You give gifts anytime. In Islam, it's always a time to give gifts. And it doesn't have to be a lot. Even if it's a small amount, if people are not expecting, they will appreciate it even if it's a small amount. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, وَسِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ. And enjoin relations. You have to enjoin relations. You have to know who your relatives are. Know who your uncles are. Know who your cousins are. And enjoin relations with them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَعَلَّمُوا مِنْ أَنْسَابِكُمْ مَا تَصِلُوا بِهِ أَرْحَامَكُمْ. Know your lineage. Know the people who are related to you. So that you can enjoy in relations. And so, this is an order from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we do not enjoy in relations, then we will not enter Jannah. Why? Those who cut relations do not enter paradise. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person crosses the bridge over Jahannam, he needs two things. Two things will come on his right and on his left. One will be al-amana, trustworthiness, trust. The second will be ar-rahim. If ar-rahim, enjoining relations. If you don't have both of them, you need both. If you do not have both, you'll fall. One side or another. So you have to be trustworthy and you have to enjoin relations. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ عَاطِعُ. A person who cuts relations will not enter Jannah. In hadith in Sahih Bukhari. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. And pray at night time when others are sleeping, and you will enter Jannah in peace. So at the time when everyone is sleeping, we should be up calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, this is one of the deeds of the people of paradise. If you want to be amongst the people of paradise, one of the best things you can do is to pray tahajjud. And Allah has created us to pray tahajjud. If we pray tahajjud, we will have the most energy. Most people think that if you wake up at night time, in the daytime you're going to be drowsy, you are going to be sleepy, and you are not going to be productive. But the truth to the matter is, it's the opposite. That's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person goes to sleep, the shaitan ties 3 knots behind his back. When he wakes up, 1 knot is untied. When he wakes up and remembers Allah, 1 knot is untied. When he makes wudu, the other knot is untied. And when he stands up to pray, the final knot is untied, and he will wake up in the morning. He will wake up nashiqan tayyib an-nafs. He will wake up full of energy, feeling good. So some people, they say, you know, I'm not a morning person. Every morning I'm always tired. The reason you're not a morning person is because you are not a tahajjud person. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you don't, the shaytan urinates in his ears. He urinates in his ears. And he will wake up khabith an-nafs kaslan. He will wake up feeling terrible, lazy, terrible and lazy. So when you wake up at nighttime and pray tahajjud, it gives you energy in the daytime. Just recently, there was a study done by a university in the United States. One of the Ivy League universities, either it was Yale or Princeton, one of those universities. They studied sleep for 20 years. For 20 years, and then they got the findings. They said, what's the best way to sleep? They found out that if you take a shower or you rinse your face before you go to sleep, you will have more energy because your sleep will be deeper. You will go to the deep stage faster and you'll be more replenished, much more energized. 6 hours will be equivalent to 8 hours. And you know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us? He said, if you have slept with your spouse and you want to go to sleep, make sure you take a shower first. If you can't, then at least make wudu. Subhanallah, you are in a state of janabah. If you make wudu, you can't pray. You can't do anything with this wudu. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us to make wudu? Is it for prayer? For Quran? No. It is for sleeping. Because when you make wudu before you go to sleep, your sleep will be much more replenishing. You have more energy and you'll benefit more from your sleep. And so, they also found another point. Look, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this over 1400 years ago. So they found another point relating to sleep. And that is, if you sleep for 1/3 of the night, and then you wake up, you set your alarm. This is what they said in the article. You set your alarm and you wake up. Then you go back to sleep again. Set your alarm for another 1/6 of the night or 1/3 of the night. And then you go back to sleep. And then you wake up again, you will be more energized. You might say, why? Did you know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, he said the best fast is the fast of Prophet Dawood. He used to fast for one day and would break his fast the other day. And the best sleep, or the best prayer, sorry, the best prayer is the prayer of Prophet Dawood also. He used to sleep 1/3 of the night and then wake up for prayer. Then sleep another 6, then wake up for prayer. Then he would sleep again until Fajr and he would wake up. You know what he just described? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the best way to sleep, and the people who studied for 20 years, they said they just found out about it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it over 1400 years ago. Over 1400 years ago. We don't need the studies from this university and that university. But for us, Muslims, when we hear something from the doctor, we like to listen. But then when we hear from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is receiving knowledge from the one who created us, who knows us better, we doubt it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does he not know whom he has created? And is he all subtle, all aware? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to pray tahajjud. Because he created us to worship him. And so if you apply the sunnah correctly, then you will fulfill your objective in life, and you will also live the most healthy and the best life also. For it is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُ السَّلَامُ وَأَطْلِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَسِلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ بِالسَّلَامُ. So pray at night time when others are sleeping, you enter Jannah with peace. The word Islam means peace. So as Muslims, we work for peace. As Muslims, Islam prospers in peace, not in war. Where do we learn that from? During the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed with the Quraysh upon the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah that they would not have any more wars for 10 years. 10 years, no more wars. As a result of peace, more people accepted Islam during the 17 months after the treaty than over 20 years before that. What does that show? That shows that Islam prospers in peace, not in war. And we as Muslims, we work towards peace. And Islam is the religion of peace. Islam is the religion of peace to the point where even us, in the household of the Muslims, we are also ordered to be just, and we are also ordered to keep the house at peace. So when we are at home, we are ordered to pray our prayers, and we're ordered to respect our parents. We're ordered to be at peace with all. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent, or Abu Bakr, repeated the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, when Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu was sent, he was ordered to not, he said, you're going to meet a people. Amongst them, there are people who will be in the temples and churches. Do not kill them. Meaning, do not kill the priests. Do not kill the monks. Do not slaughter any animal. Do not slaughter any animal. And do not burn down any trees. In other words, during war, and do not kill the woman, and nor should you kill any of the children. These are the orders during the time of war. So how much more at peace should the Muslims be in times of peace when there's no war? Even the animals should feel safe from the Muslims. Even the trees should feel safe from the Muslims during times of war. So that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the Muslim. He said, Al-Muslim, man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is he who others feel safe from his hands and his tongue. If somebody asks you, a non-Muslim comes and says, what is a Muslim? Tell him that a Muslim is somebody whom others feel safe from. The Muslim doesn't harm anybody physically, nor does he harm anybody with his tongue also. He doesn't speak bad words, and he's not vulgar. So the Muslim is at peace with himself. At night time, he stands up and prays. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace with the animals. He's at peace with the plants and the trees and everything around him. And we Muslims are ordered to be kind and merciful to all. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us of a story of a woman. Now this woman was a prostitute. She was very thirsty. And so she came across a well. She went down the well to drink from the well. Drink the water from the well. And when she came out of the well, she saw a dog licking the dirt, the mud around the well. And so she said to herself, you know, this well or this dog is just as thirsty as I was before I went into the well to drink. So she went and returned to the well, and she filled up her leather socks with water, and she gave this dog water to drink. And as a result of that, Allah forgave her her sins. In another narration, Allah entered her paradise. Why? For giving water to a dog. If, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah said, if the reward for giving water to a dog is as such, how much more reward would a person give or would a person get if they were to give food and water to a human? And that's why he said it is permissible for the Muslims, based on this hadith, to give sadaqah to non-Muslims, to give food to non-Muslims. If you're going to get that type of reward for a dog, how about a human? And he also said, but not everybody, not every prostitute, not every prostitute that gives water to a dog will enter paradise. Not every prostitute that gives water to a dog will enter paradise. What is the difference between this prostitute and other people who give water to dogs? It is the sincerity and the love that's in the heart. So when you do something, when you give and help Muslims, how greater is the reward if you were to sincerely provide water for the Muslims? If you were to sincerely provide food for the Muslims? So the Muslims in the East and the West, we are always at peace. We work locally, but we always think globally. So when we are eating, like right now, we have food in our houses, in our refrigerators, probably enough for 2 weeks to a month. If we did not go shopping, we would still not starve. We would have enough rice, fish, whatever it is, to eat to survive for a while. We just finished the month of Ramadan. We have stopped fasting. But you know, there are some people right now, they are still fasting. They are our brothers and sisters in Somalia. They are suffering from a drought. Some of them are walking for 3 to 7 days, looking, going to the refugee camps, going to the camps to find food. And some of them don't make it. Some of the children don't make it. They're crossing deserts to find food. They are being tested. Because they are being tested by poverty. They are being tested by hardship. We here are also being tested. Their test is very big, great. Our test is also very great. What is that test? The test of prosperity. Allah will test a person with poverty and prosperity. Just because Allah gives you money does not mean that Allah loves you. If you're thankful for the money, for the wealth that you have, and you give it in the way of Allah, that's the way to show thankfulness. So Allah is testing us with prosperity, and it's a big test because most people during the times of poverty, hardship, they are more likely to return to Allah. But in times of prosperity, we are more likely to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's also a test, you have to understand. So how can we pass this test? The way we pass the test is, any blessing that you have, spend that blessing in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you hear that there are Muslims who are in need in other countries, then help them out also. Amongst the characteristics of the people of Jannah, the muttaqoon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ عَنْ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And compete and vie with each other for the forgiveness of Allah and the paradise of which is the width of the heavens and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, prepared for the believers. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, those who spend in times of ease and hardship. I mean, if you have or you don't have, you always spend. And you're always generous. Those are the muttaqun. And so Muslims, as I mentioned, we are at peace. Between us, we say Assalamu alaikum. And when we pray, we say also, we say the salams, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, and upon us and all the servants of Allah who are salihin. And we're always, when we meet each other, we make dua and send peace upon others. And so this religion is the religion of peace. This religion is the religion of peace between us and Allah, between us and the people, and between us and the animals, between us and the plants, between us and the world. And so the default is not war in Islam. The default is peace. And so that's why we have to establish peace within ourselves. And we have to establish peace with others. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, اتق الله حيث ما كنت, wherever you are, fear Allah. Wherever you are, fear Allah. So it's, you perfect the connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And follow up a bad deed with a good deed. وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. And also deal with people with good manners and good character. Because when you're dealing with others with good character, it establishes love and it establishes peace. And that's why if we want to enter Jannah, which is the Darussalam, which is the abode of peace, and Allah invites us to the abode of peace. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inviting us, not just telling us, He says, Wallahu yad'u ila Darussalam. Allah invites you to Darussalam, the abode of peace. And so if we are peace, if we find peace in this life, between us and Allah, between us and the people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us with the abode of peace, which is Darussalam. And so that's why we should do so between us and our family members, and we should continue to do so all the time. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as He has gathered us here, to also enter us the abode of peace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter us the highest level in paradise. For we have to aim for the highest level in paradise. And we have to work for the highest level in paradise. Because you only hit what you aim. If you don't aim at something, then you're not going to hit it. So you have to aim for the highest love on paradise. And generally, if you aim higher, even if you miss a little bit, you'll still be in paradise. So don't just enter, ask Allah for just entry into paradise, even if it's the lowest, no. Ask for the highest. And then we should always seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring the Muslims together in peace. And ask the Prophet, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send peace upon us. And that's why even after prayer, we remember peace right away. After saying istighfar, we say, Allahumma anta salam. O Allah, you are the peace, the source of peace. Wa minka salam, and from you is peace. And so we mention from right after prayer, we are reminded of peace. Because Islam, the word Islam comes from peace. So how dare the non-Muslims, how dare the enemies of Islam say that Islam is not a peaceful religion? When we are ordered during times of war to be at peace even with the animals and the trees. Even the animals and the trees feel peace and safe from the Muslims. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ